So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kalasada Mataji on the special occasion of Sri Balaram Jayanti. The topic is Lord Balaram, the King of all Rasas. Mataji, I hand over the call to you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Especially, I would like to thank Shama Gauri Mataji, Rajeshwari Mataji, and Priti Vilasini Mataji, the organizers, for making this special facilitation for today's class. I'm eternally indebted to all of you for joining in. Thank you very much. And wishing all of you a very, very happy Sri Balaram Purnima. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seva Bhagavati Yatana Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namo Pankajanabhaya Namo Pankajamaline Namo Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangraye Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, reading from text 24. Agrato bhavita devo Hare Priya Chikeshaya. Translation. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Prabhupada Pashla Prabhupada, Sri Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Godhead. Yet, whenever Krishna appears, Sri Baladev appears as his brother, sometimes elder and sometimes younger. When Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions and other incarnations appear with him. This is elaborately explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This time, Baladev would appear before Krishna as Krishna's elder brother. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaya Kripa Pradayane Gauru Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauru Vani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Nitya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangur Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurung Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So, today is the most sweet festival. It's a honey festival because it is the appearance of our very, very sweet honey lord, Lord Sri Balaram. So very, very sweet Lord Balaram because he is the one with the sweet tooth. Lord Balaram, he is very, very fond of sweets. Very fond of sweets, especially honey. He is also therefore famously known as Madhukar Balaram, the one who is always, aspiring to drink honey. And that Balaram, as is explained by Srila Prabhupada here, that sometimes Balaram appears as elder brother, or sometimes he appears as younger brother. When it was time for Krishna to appear in Dwapar Yuga, actually it is explained very beautifully, there was a dialogue between Anantashesh, Lord Balaram, original Lord Balaram, and with Krishna. So after the sixth child of Mother Devaki was brutally slaughtered by Kamsa, at that time when it was time for the seventh child to come, at that time Anantashesh came to Lord Krishna and said, "My dear Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, I have an appeal to make of you." So Krishna said, yes, tell me, what can I do for you? And then Balaram made his appeal. He said that this time I want to go as your elder brother. So Krishna, give me permission that I can go and enter Mother Devaki's womb as the seventh child, so I can be your elder brother, because you're going to come as the eighth one. So let me go before you. So Krishna said, yeah, no problem. But why? Why do you want to be my elder brother? Is there any specific reason that you want to be my elder brother? And then Balaram, Anantashesh, he started crying. He said, yes, there's a very, very special reason. You see, in our previous incarnation, when you came as Lord Ramachandra, I was your younger brother at that time. I was Lakshmana. And I made a vow at that time that I will never appear as your younger brother ever again. And then Krishna started teasing Balaram. He said, now I know. Okay, because I made you, I made your life very torturous, that you had to come with me to the forest. You had to roam around barefoot in the forest. You were not even sleeping in the forest. You had to stay awake for 14 years. You were awake day and night. You were awake. You did not sleep. So I really tortured you, and then you had to fight so many crazy rakshasas. So all of this, I really, really tortured you, Balaram? Yeah, okay. So that's why you don't want to, come as my younger brother. So then Balaram said, no, Krishna, you can torture me as much as you liked. But that was not even torture for me. That was my service to you. But the reason why I wanted to come as your elder brother is that if I was your elder brother, as, in your Lord Ram incarnation, then in the first place itself, I wouldn't have ever allowed you to go into the forest. I would have stopped you from getting exiled. But because I was your younger brother, I had to follow what you said. It is the maryada, it is the etiquette. So I was bound by the jurisdiction of my etiquettes. and I just couldn't do anything because of that. So therefore, O Krishna, this time I want to go as your elder brother, and I'm not going to listen to anything. If I see that you are taking any trouble upon yourself, I will not leave you. And as your elder brother, I will chastise you, and I will bring you back so that you have a comfortable, you know, time. That is my main objective. So Krishna smiled. He was very pleased with this, you know, sweet attitude of Lord Anantashesh, of Balaram. And he said, yes, yes, please, please proceed and go to Mother Devaki's womb as the seventh child. So Lord Balaram, he made his appearance as the seventh child of Mother Devaki. And through the process of Sankarshan, Sankarshan means Akarshan, Sank Akarshan, means by attracting the womb of Mother Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Mother Rohini. And, Mother Devaki, she, you know, thought that she had a miscarriage, but actually the womb was very securely placed. The embryo was very securely placed by Yoga Maya in the womb of Rohini Devi. There's a special reason for this, because Rohini Devi was in her previous life, she was the wife of Kardama Muni, who was Vasudev, even there, Diti and Aditi. So Rohini Devi, she actually gave birth to all the Nagas, you know, to all the snakes of the world she gave birth to from her womb. And Mother Rohini, in this life also, Lord Balaram wanted to give this special privilege to Mother Rohini to give birth to the supreme of all snakes, you know, to Lord Anantashesh. She would, you know, make him appear from her womb. That is why Lord Balaram chose her womb to make his appearance, but he also wanted to first appear into the womb of Mother Devaki as well. So like this, Mother Devaki, from Mother Devaki's womb, he was transferred. Lord Balaram came. And after Lord Balaram's appearance, Lord Balaram was very, very anxiously waiting for the arrival of his little brother Krishna of Kanhaiya Lal. So when Krishna appeared, Lord Balaram, you know, it is explained, we all know that how when Krishna was transferred from Mathura to Gokul, Vrindavan, by Vasudev, the entire town of Gokul was asleep, including Mother Jashoda. Mother Jashoda was also asleep, but it was only one personality in the entire Gokul who was awake to welcome Krishna, and that was Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram was also a baby at this time. You know, he's eternally 16 years of age, and Krishna is considered to be 15 years, 9 months, and 7 days. So there's very few, time difference between Krishna and Balaram's appearance. Of course, we should understand that this is transcendental. So anyways, so he was like almost a year, kind of, you know, little less than a year elder to Krishna. And when Krishna appeared, when Krishna came, brought in by Vasudev, at that time, Lord Balaram was there to welcome him. You know, of course, Vasudev couldn't see Lord Balaram. But Lord Balaram, you know, once Vasudev left, Balaram was there to take care of Krishna. He was there. So Lord Balaram, he is such a personality that he actually serves Krishna in all the rasas, in all the different mellows. We know how as Shantaras, you know, there are 5 primary rasas. So there's Shantaras, there's Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, and Madhuryaras. So in Shantaras, Lord Balaram, actually serves Krishna not only by expanding as the Dham. So Lord Balaram is actually the manifestation of the entire Dham. The spiritual world is actually the manifestation of Lord Balaram himself. He manifests as Krishna's flute. He manifests as Krishna's clothing, his crown, his jewelry. Every detail on Krishna's body is manifestation of Lord Balaram. To the extent of even the musical instrument that we use for, when we sing the glories of Krishna in Kirtan, that time also the musical instruments are nothing but the manifestation of Lord Balaram. We generally know of the fact that only Mridanga is the manifestation of Lord Balaram, but it is explained that karatals, harmonium, anything that is used in the service and glorification of Krishna, that is also an expansion of Lord Balaram himself. So in this way, Lord Balaram, he serves Krishna in the Shantaras. In Dasyaras, he serves Krishna. He is the first servitor of Sri Krishna, the first one. You know, as soon as Krishna opens his eyes, even before he sees Mother Yashoda, he actually sees Lord Balaram. He is the first servitor of Lord Balaram. And there is a very beautiful pastime that shows this particular rasa that Krishna has with Lord Balaram. One time, you know, we know how Krishna has his most intimate pastimes with the gopis in the night. When everyone goes to sleep, that's when Krishna slips out into the middle of the night. And, you know, Mother Yashoda so nicely comes and tucks both the boys inside their bed and nicely, you know, gives them a warm kiss on their little forehead and says, okay, Krishna, sleep nice. And then Krishna says, yes, yes, I'm nice and cozy with Dalji. We are both sleeping very well, Mata. Now you can go. And as soon as Maya leaves, that's when Krishna says, all right, Dao, I'm going. So saying these words to Dao, Dao says, all right, you go and I go back to sleep. So Daoji goes back to sleep, Balaram goes back to sleep, but Krishna, he goes away into the night. He goes away to the secret place where it is already pre-assigned that they are going to meet with the gopis by the arrangement of Vrinda Devi. So Krishna, he enjoys his nocturnal pastimes with the gopis. And after beautifully enjoying with the gopis and all the sakhis, Krishna comes back in the early morning hours. Even before the birds are chirping, Krishna comes back and he slips back into the bed nicely next to Lord Balaram. Then Balaram nicely hugs him and then both of them go back to sleep. And then after some time, Mother Yashoda comes and Maya comes and wakes both the brothers up. So one day what happened, that Kanha, he got very late. You know, actually what happened is that Vrinda Devi, you know, she would use the parrots and the beautiful cuckoos to make beautiful sounds like that of, you know, how we have alarm clocks to wake us up. So to wake up the divine couple from their slumber, Vrinda Devi would use these sweet-sounding cuckoos and the parrots to make very beautiful, sweet sounds so that the divine couple would be woken up very gently. So one day in the morning, it was a little late. So they woke up in great hurry, and then, you know, Krishna woke up and Radharani was in anxiety. Srimati Radharani said, oh, Kanha, today we are so late, we are late. And then Krishna said, no, don't worry, Radhe, here's your dress, give me my dress. They wore on their dresses, and then Radharani went with her sakis, and Krishna ran back to Nandagaon, and he climbed up the window, and Balaram was sitting on the bed. He said, Kanha, what's wrong with you? As soon as Krishna was climbing up the window, Balaram was sitting on the bed, and he said, Kanha, you're late today. And you know, Balaram's eyes swelled up. He said, Kanha, what are you wearing? And then Krishna looked down and he saw that he was wearing a blue sari. He was wearing Radharani's sari. And then Krishna just, you know, beat his forehead. He said, oh no, we were in so much of, you know, anxiety. By mistake, Radhi wore my yellow dhoti and I wore her sari. Oh no, what are we going to do? So then, you know, Balaram said, okay, no worries, no worries. Just come, I have this dhoti, wear this dhoti and get into bed. And then Balaram said, I will go to Barshana and take care of Radhe. Don't worry, you just be in bed. So Maya will be coming, she'll otherwise get in anxiety. And if Maya comes, ask for me, say that I have gone out into the forest little early today. So then, you know, Kanha says okay to Dauji and says, Dauji says, don't worry, I'll take care of this. So Dauji nicely covers Krishna up and he takes nice, the sari of Srimati Radharani, he takes it on a nice little platter and then he decorates it very nicely with other, lot of beautiful other items like bangles, fruits and many, many other things like this. And then he just comes and then he gives it to one of the sakhis and says, go and take care of Radharani, that she is, you know, she should not feel embarrassed in front of her family. So go and give this, you know, sari back to Srimati Radharani and give Krishna's dhoti, ask her to give Krishna's dhoti back. So like this, Balaram brought back Krishna's dhoti and returned the beautiful blue gorgeous sari of Srimati Radharani. So like this, Balaram is the one who facilitates all of the services. He is the supreme most servitor, the best servitor of Krishna. You know, it is explained that a servant is perfect when they are able to know what their master wants even before the master tells it. You know, before even the master gives it as an instruction, the servant knows. So this is also one of the qualifications of a disciple. That a disciple should know the mind of their spiritual master so well that even before the spiritual master says anything, the disciple should be able to act accordingly and please their spiritual master, knowing what the mission of the spiritual master is. That is the perfection of a disciple. That is the perfection of a servant. And Lord Balaram was that kind of a servant. Krishna would never have to tell Lord Balaram, okay, Balaram, do this for me. Balaram would always have everything ready and pakka for Krishna. Everything would be perfect for Krishna. That is the perfect servitor. So Lord Balaram, nobody can be a better servitor of Krishna than Lord Balaram. The more intimate the rasa is Sakya ras. Sakya ras means, you know, having the best friend is one who, you know, of course, a friend in need is a friend indeed, right? So, or the most, you know, confidant, you know, the best confidant, the one who keeps all our secrets. So like this pastime that we just heard, this pastime actually enforces Lord Balaram being the greatest servitor and being the greatest friend of Krishna also. That who else other than Lord Balaram could go and give Radharani sari back to her and bring Krishna's dhoti back for him? Who other than Lord Balaram could do this? When Krishna had, you know, when Lord Brahma had actually stolen all the calves and the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys of Krishna for that one whole year, there were only two personalities other than Krishna who knew about this fact. One was Purnamasi and the other was Lord Balaram. Only these two people knew what had actually happened, that it was indeed Krishna who had expanded himself as the calves and as the cowherd boys for that entire year. So this secret was kept intact by Lord Balaram, the greatest friend of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada actually mentions that Lord Balaram, if you want to, you know, of course, he is like the king of all mellows. He is the king of all rasas. He is the perfect servitor in all of the rasas. But if you actually see Lord Balaram's mood, he has the combination of being the servant and of the friend. So Dasya and Sakya are the ones that are most prevalent in Lord Balaram. The percentage is more prevalent. And next comes actually Vatsalya. Vatsalya, even this Vatsalya's percentage, Prabhupada says, is very, very prevalent in Lord Balaram. He is always wanting to see how Krishna can be protected. You know, like one day, Krishna was about to go into the forest and Balaram stopped Krishna and said, Kanha, today you are not going to go into the forest because today is your birthday and today Maya Yashoda wants to do a special puja for you. So you are not going to go into the forest and then I will not come behind you and then bring you back and then like every year, we are not going to do this. So this year, you're staying back at home. We are going to do all the puja that Maya Yashoda wants to do for you. And then I will take you personally to the Jamuna. And while with me present, you will take your bath in the Jamuna. And you will come out. We'll come back for all the rituals Maya Yashoda will do. Then you can go wherever you want to go and I'll take you. So like this, Balaram was commanding Krishna. He was telling Krishna what to do, just like how Lord Balaram actually wanted, how we heard in the beginning that as Lakshmana would never dare tell Lord Ram what to do. But as Lord Balaram, he had all the right to say to Krishna that, Kanha, today you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Today you cannot go to this particular area of the forest. Today, okay, that particular area we can go. Krishna, don't eat mud. Don't do this. Don't do that. Krishna, do this. This is, you know, this kind of authority was what Lord Balaram wanted upon Krishna. And whenever Lord Balaram would say things in like this in an authoritative way with parental affection, Krishna would very submissively agree to whatever Lord Balaram would say. Everything Lord Balaram would have to just say once. You know, even with Maya Yashoda, he would, you know, throw tantrum, no, Maya, I want to go. But with Lord Balaram, no. If Balaram says no, it means no. So Kanha would never, ever argue with Lord Balaram. He was very, very submissive to his elder brother Dauji Maharaj. He was very submissive. Krishna was very submissive. Then the most intimate of elder rasas is Madhurya Ras. Now Madhurya Ras, we know that Srimati Radharani, she respects Lord Balaram as the elder brother of Krishna. And, you know, almost treating him like the elder brother-in-law kind of respect that Srimati Radharani has towards Lord Balaram. And she would never, you know, come in front of Lord Balaram. She would be very shy, very modest in front of Lord Balaram. And it is explained that whenever on Govardhan, when Lord Balaram, Kanha, and then all the cowherd boys, all of them would be playing, you know, even in the mid-morning hours, that time Krishna would also sometimes sneak away, you know, to go and have some intimate leelas with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. So while walking on Sri Giriraj, if Lord Balaram would see some golden stones, you know, the pathway would actually leave footmarks of Srimati Radharani, little goldenish with a reddish tinge. that would show the footmarks of Srimati Radharani, Lord Balaram would actually change his course. He would never go following in those footsteps because he would know that Sri Radhe is with Shyamasundar. So he would change his course. Similarly, when Srimati Radharani would sometimes see on Giriraj's foothills little crystal, crystal stones, that time she would know that, my Shyamasundar is with Balaramji. So therefore she would also change her course. She would not go in that direction. So like this, Sri Giriraj would facilitate, the pastimes of these divine personalities, that they don't face any awkward situation, so Giriraj would facilitate this. So it is explained that in order to, Balaram has to be present in Madhurya Ras also. So Lord Balaram actually expands as one of the Manjaris, the Manjari named Sri Ananga Manjari. She is actually the sister of Srimati Radharani, and she is none other than Lord Balaram. And it is explained that Ananga Manjari's complexion is like that of crystal. She's so white, like a champaka flower. And she wears garments the color of a blue lotus. Very, very elegant, very beautiful Manjari. Her eyes are always reddish. Very long, elongated eyes Ananga Manjari has. And they're always little reddish. It's tinged with red because they're always overflowing with love for the divine couple. So Ananga Manjari is very, very sweet, very special Manjari. Manjaris are themselves very, very special. It is said that the services that the gopis cannot render, the sakhis cannot render, are being rendered by the Manjaris. They are very intimately connected to the divine couple. How? Because it is explained that Srimati Radharani and the sakhis are almost the same age. Srimati Radharani is the same age as all of her gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, Induleka, Champakalata, Tungavidya, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Suchitra. All of them are almost the same age, maybe just 1 month, 2 months, difference, but they're the same age. In fact, Vishakha Devi is on the same day as Srimati Radharani. Her appearance is on the same day as Srimati Radharani. So like this, the Sakhis, they are all, the same age as Srimati Radharani. So when Srimati Radharani is very intimate with Krishna, she feels very shy and embarrassed. If her own same age friends are there, she feels very embarrassed. So the Sakhis actually leave the divine couple alone in a forest kunja to continue on with their intimate pastimes so that Radharani does not feel embarrassed in front of them. They leave both of them alone. But both of them always need some kind of assistance. So they actually appoint these little Manjaris. Manjaris are 10, 11-year-old girls. Very young girls, very, they just come very, 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 their presence is not even noticed by the divine couple. And Srimati Radharani is extremely comfortable in their presence because they're little girls. They're very, very small girls, innocent, humble, tiny little girls. So Srimati Radharani feels extremely comfortable in their presence. So when Srimati Radharani, when she's intimate with Krishna, her hair entangles with Krishna's earring, the Manjaris come and disentangle the knot. When the divine couple needs some refreshing drink, it is the Manjaris who come and provide all of that. So they are very, just like little tiny humble, humble bees, these little bumblebees, they're just buzzing around in the little forest kunja where the divine couple are intimately associating with each other. This is the position of the manjaris, who are actually serving under the instructions of the gopis. Because the gopis cannot be present, they engage the manjaris, and the manjaris are sincere followers of the gopis. The manjaris never think that they're superior to the gopis. They never think like that. Although their service is the most superior, but they never think that they are serving in a superior capacity than the gopis. That is spiritual consciousness. They actually just think that we are doing the service as has been instructed by my Prana Sakhi. My Lalita Sakhi, my Vishakha Sakhi, they have instructed me to do this particular seva. I will do this seva. That is their consciousness. Such amazing consciousness that these manjaris have. And the gopis too. So that is the nature of the spiritual world. That there is no competition. There is no jealousy. There is no envy. None of these negativity is ever existing. The only competition is that how can we please Radha and Krishna? How can we please them more and more? That is the only consciousness that prevails in the spiritual world. So this is how Lord Balaram is serving Krishna in all of the rasas. And, you know, it is explained that there is actually no difference between Krishna and Balaram. No difference whatsoever, except for two. It is explained that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Balaram is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there is a difference. There's two differences between Krishna and Balaram. Balaram is white in color. Krishna is bluish black. That is one difference. Second is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of an enjoyer. And Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of a servitor. So in the mood of a servant, Lord Balaram is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the position of Krishna and Balaram. And when we can understand this aspect of Lord Balaram, it is extremely important for us to understand this position of Lord Balaram, because, you know, just like if we have to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, we actually need the mercy of Gauranga and Nityananda very, very specifically. So, Brajendra Nandana Jai, Shachi Suta Hoilo Shai, Balaram Hoilo Nitai means the same Brajendra Nandan Shri Krishna has now appeared as Shri Sachinandana, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that same Lord Balaram, Rohini Suta, has now appeared as the most compassionate, the most merciful Nityananda Ram. So to know and to receive the mercy of Gauranga, we need the mercy of Nitai. Nitai Kripa is very, very, very essential. So similarly, for us to be able to even enter into Brajadham, for us to be able to even, you know, try to even appreciate or even chant our rounds properly, actually, we need the mercy of Lord Balaram. Without Lord Balaram's mercy, without Lord Balaram's permission, we cannot enter into the divine realm of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna's divine pastimes. We cannot do that. So we need the blessings of Lord Balaram, the permission of Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram not only is the one who is having the key to allow us to enter into the divine realm, but Lord Balaram is also the manifestation of the Guru Tattva. So today is actually very, very special. We have a special opportunity to pray to Lord Balaram that we will be able to, you know, because he is Adi Guru, Lord Balaram is Adi Guru. He is the original spiritual master. He is the one who is, you know, because in his aspect of Lord Sankarshan, he is very expert in uprooting our false ego and all of our anarthas. It is Lord Balaram who takes care of that. He is the one who gives us the spiritual strength to keep persevering in our Krishna consciousness. It is Lord Balaram who does that, giving us so much strength. And he is the one that is giving us that bala, and he is also the one who is giving us Rama. Rama means he is the one who is giving us, allowing us to experience the bliss in service. Bliss in our chanting, bliss in devotional service, bliss in the association of devotees. That bliss and that strength is coming from Lord Balaram. So if we don't have Lord Balaram's mercy, we will cease to exist in our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives will have no meaning whatsoever if we don't have the mercy of Lord Balaram. So we pray and beg at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram that he allows us, you know, the spiritual strength so we can keep persevering moment by moment. We can choose Lord Balaram at all times, you know, over Maya. We can choose Lord Balaram. Let us get the strength from Lord Balaram to choose him over any other attraction, and so that we can experience that bliss. Hame bhi apne saath ramaiye. Loknath Maharaj says that we pray to Rama that, you know, please allow us to enter into your divine pastimes of ecstatic bliss. Allow us. Please allow us. So with that prayer, we should, you know, meditate upon the entire day. I would like to conclude with one small meditation on Lord Balaram. But before that, I would like to tell one of my very, very sweet pastimes. I'm sure every time I give class on Lord Balaram, I always say this pastime. But it's a very sweet pastime. It's my personal favorite pastime. And, you know, where Balaram wanted to be Krishna for one day. So one day, what happened is Balaram, you know, this was right after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill, and, you know, everyone was so wonderful. Everyone was saying, oh, wonderful Krishna, wonderful Krishna. And Balaram was also so happy that, you know, everyone was glorifying his dearly beloved brother, Sri Krishna. He was in bliss. He was in ecstasy. And then, you know, Balaram said to Krishna, hey, Kanha, today now I have one desire. So then Krishna said, yes, Dalji Maharaj, tell me, what is your desire today? He said, for one day, you know, Kanha, I want to be you. So then Krishna's eyes widened. He said, okay, you want to be me? Fine, no problem. Then Balaram said, what should I do to become you? He said, see, Dalji, you wear blue dhoti, I wear yellow dhoti. That's the only difference. And I carry this flute. You don't have flute, you have the plow. And I wear this peacock feather and my crown. And you can just wear this peacock feather, take my flute, wear this yellow dhoti. That's it, you have become me. So then Balaram said, wow, Kanha, okay, give. So then they exchanged their dhotis. Then Balaram, you know, he took the flute of Krishna, and then Krishna himself, he removed his little sash of crown that he was wearing with the peacock feather, and he tied it on Balaram's, you know, top notch. He just tied it up on his hair. And Balaram said, so Krishna, how am I looking? And then Krishna said, oh wow, Dalji Maharaj, you're looking not like Dalji anymore. You're looking like Krishna. You're looking like Kanha. So then Dalji was so happy. He said, okay, now I'm going to go to the forest and I'll go and be Krishna. I'll be you for a day. So then Dalji Maharaj came to the forest and he was sitting under a tree and he was very cutely, he was playing on the flute. He didn't know how to play the flute, but he was somehow or the other, he was just, you know, blowing air. And Krishna's vamsi, Krishna's venu is so kind that because it was, you know, in Lord Balaram's hand, some very nice tunes were coming out. And Lord Balaram was like, oh, nice. Look how nicely I'm playing this flute. And he was enjoying nicely. He was relaxing under the tree, under a nice, beautiful Kadamba tree. Nice, you know, wind from the Jamuna was coming. It was blowing his hair. And he was feeling so nice. Meanwhile, in Mathura, in King Kamsa's court, he had summoned the great mighty horse demon named Keshi. So Keshi came, you know, galloping into the court of Kamsa, and then Kamsa said, Keshi, I want you to go to Vrindavan and go and kill my arch enemy, that Krishna. Go and kill him. So then Keshi said, oh, your command, your wish is my command, my dear king, but tell me, how can I recognize Krishna? There are so many cowherd boys, 7-year-old cowherd boys in Vrindavan. How can I recognize Krishna? So Kamsa said, oh, you know what? It's really easy to recognize Krishna. He's the only one. You know, he wears yellow colored garments and he actually plays the flute. He's the only one who plays the flute, and he's the only one who has a peacock feather in his hair. So, you know, these three, you know, identifications are for Krishna. So anyone with that, go kill him. Okay, she said, don't you worry, my lord. It's going to be taken care of. Don't worry. So then Keshi came to Vrindavan and he was searching. Where is this three, you know, identification boy? So then he came and he just kind of heard the sound of Krishna's flute, you know, that was being played by Balaram. And he heard that flute sound coming and he saw that, there's a boy who's sitting with yellow color dhoti, check, first identification check. Oh, he's playing the flute. Check, yes, correct. And then does he have the peacock feather? Look. And then he came on the side and he saw that there was a peacock feather on the head. He said, ah, this is Krishna. All three identifications are checked. So then Keshi just came, you know, sneaking from the back. And then he just kicked Lord Balaram, you know, horses, how they kick. So he just came and kicked Lord Balaram from the back. And Lord Balaram, he was actually in a totally different mood at that time. And it came out of total unexpectation. You know, he didn't even expect to be kicked while he was sitting and playing the flute, enjoying a blissful day in the forest. And he was just kicked like this and suddenly being kicked. This kick of the Keshi demon, Srila Prabhupada writes, that it is enough to actually kill a huge elephant. An elephant can be killed by this one kick of this Keshi demon, and they can be sprung up in the air, and they, when they fall down, they would be dead. So Keshi demon thought that, oh, you know, he gave one kick to Balaram, who was not even expecting it. So Balaram just sprang up into the air. You know, he went flying into the air. And then Keshi didn't even bother to see where he landed, because he knew that once this Krishna would land, he would be dead anyway. So Keshi was nicely in one, that part of the forest. He started, you know, feeding himself and rewarding himself with the grass, the sweet grass of Vrindavan. And in the meantime, Balaram was swinging up in the air, and then he fell down with a huge crash. And he said, what happened? What hit me? What actually happened? And then he saw that there was that demon, but Balaram was so, you know, hurt. He was like, his chest was paining, his, you know, every limb of his body was paining, and he came, you know, limping, he came back to Nandagaon, and Krishna was nicely sitting and eating butter. He said, hey, Kanha, I don't want to be you anymore. Here, take your peacock feather. Here, take your flute. Here, take your dhoti. I don't want your yellow dhoti also. Give me back my blue dhoti. I'm satisfied with that. Then Kanha was smiling and said, Dauji, what happened? He said, see, I think some demon came and hit me from the back. He hit me so badly, I went springing up into the air. Now I'm going and sleeping in my mother's lap. So he called Mother Rohini. He was not even able to sleep properly, lie down properly. He just, you know, Mother Rohini embraced him and put him on her lap, and then she just, you know, Balaram nicely just took rest in Mother Rohini's lap, and in meanwhile, Krishna, he just, you know, put on his peacock feather, he tucked the flute in his, you know, in his waist under his dhoti, and he wore his nice pitambari dhoti, and he came to the same spot where Tauji Maharaj was. And he saw that that Keshi demon was there. And then Krishna came to that Keshi demon. He was so angry at that Keshi demon. You know, generally, Krishna actually fights the demons. Whenever he fights the demons sent by Kamsa, he does it as a sport, you know. He enjoys it in the sense that he actually loves doing it, you know, because his friends are there applauding him and, you know, it's like a fun sport for Krishna to kill a demon, you know, and he would kill a demon every day, sometimes two or three demons in a day Krishna would kill. It was a sport for him, a fun sport for him. But this time Krishna was angry at Keshi because Keshi had hurt his dear brother Balaram. So Krishna was so angry. Krishna came in front of Keshi, and then Keshi was like, oops, who's this now? You know, I thought I just swung him up in the air and he's back. And then he was just like, kind of Keshi was eating grass, imagine, and he just looked up at Krishna with his mouth open. And this Krishna, what he did, he just boxed, you know, he put his fist, he made a fist out of his right hand, and he just put it inside Keshi's mouth. And Krishna's fist was so, you know, it had become like red hot iron because he was so angry. And then that, you know, it kind of just melted and burnt Keshi's mouth, and he was then sprung up in the air by Krishna. He said, you sprung my brother? Look what I'll do to you. And Krishna just sprung him up in the air and, you know, killed him, you know, finally just killed this Keshi demon. So nonetheless, this is a very sweet pastime of, you know, Balaram, that although he possesses so much strength, but because he didn't expect it, you know, it's a very sweet pastime, you know. We should not doubt that, you know, Lord Balaram is not capable of killing any demons. He is. He is very much, but he wanted to give special credit to Krishna to kill this particular demon. And also that, you know, how Krishna is, he takes it very personally, you know, when any of his, especially Lord Balaram, if he is hurt, what Krishna can do, you know, in anger, is shown by what he did to Keshi. And so like this pastime is very, very sweet of Lord Balaram. And as I said in the beginning, that Lord Balaram, he actually has a sweet tooth. So request all devotees that you can make Varuni, is his favorite drink, made with honey and Panchamrita. And lots of fruits, you know, you can put lots of fruits in it. And that's a special drink that is offered to Lord Balaram. And, you know, but he loves sweets. So any sweet that we can offer to Lord Balaram today especially is very, very, very pleasing to Lord Balaram. And I would like to conclude, as I said, with a beautiful meditation. So I would request everyone to close their eyes and to beg at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram so that he can appear in the mirror. His form is reflected in the mirror of our mind and our hearts, so we can see the beautiful form of Lord Balaram. So the most powerful Lord Balaram, he is 16 years old. He is full in the luster of youth. He has a beautiful, most attractive white color complexion. It's the color of crystal. You know, it's not just bland white, but it is shining white, crystal white. So Balaram has a beautiful effulgence, you know, like white effulgence. And his effulgence is, you know, it is like outlined with blue. You know, so it's like blue sapphire, you know, and crystal. So let us try to picture that. And Lord Balaram, his lotus feet, is having very beautiful altar. his toes are, he's wearing two toe rings in his second and third toe, one with a blue sapphire and one with a red ruby. The middle toe, he's having the red ruby, and the second toe is blue sapphire. He is wearing two ankle belts. One is a pearl that is hanging down in loops with lot of tinkling bells. The second one is a tighter one with blue sapphires and a red ruby in between each of the blue sapphires. So these are the ankle bells adorning the gorgeously lotus feet, the honey-like sweet lotus feet of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram's lotus feet is also decorated with tulasi leaves, sandalwood and musk and tulasi fragrant the lotus feet of Lord Balaram. And then he is wearing blue silk dhoti. It has a border which is made with golden embroidery. And he wears a very beautiful pink color sash around his waist. Around the sash, he has very beautiful gems-like, you know, blue gem-like, you know, garlands that are hanging around his, around the pink sash. So it's making his waist look very slender and very, very attractive. Lord Balaram's waist is extremely thin, like that of a lion. And his chest broadens out. And that chest of Lord Balaram can engulf the entire universe. It can shelter the entire universe. That's how strong Lord Balaram's chest is. And adorning Lord Balaram's chest are very beautiful jewels and ornaments that he is wearing. He is wearing a very beautiful blue sapphire choker, a pink color jewels, you know, pink gem studded necklaces with pearls. There's a very beautiful long beaded, blue color beaded necklace that he's wearing. And he's wearing a forest flower garland. Very, very enchanting garland made out of fresh forest flowers. The forest flowers are colored orange, blue, white, pink, green. All of these colors are very beautifully combined in the forest flower garland that Lord Balaram wears. Lord Balaram's hands, his arms, are so beautiful and elegant, so long, they extend up to his knees. They're sleek and slender. Lord Balaram is wearing a very beautiful armlet around his, you know, strong arms. He's wearing very beautiful bracelets around his wrist. The bracelets, there are gold, blue, red, and pink color bracelets. And the inside of Lord Balaram's palms are reddish pink in color. In each of his fingers, Lord Balaram wears a very precious stoned ring in each of his fingers. And Lord Balaram's nails are like a moon each, 1 million moon each of his fingernails and his toenails. Very shining, very, very bright and effulgent. Lord Balaram, his hair is actually tied up in a graceful top knot. So the top knot has very, very, you know, elegant flowers like bokul, keli kadamba, and all of these very sweet-smelling flowers that decorate the top knot of Lord Balaram. There's a strand of pearls that hang down on one side from his hair. Very elegant. And he has a very, very beautiful white color feather, which sways very beautifully by being swayed by the charming winds that come from the Jamuna. Lord Balaram wears shark-shaped earrings, which has a ruby in it and a sapphire in it, so they give out bright blue effulgence from coming from his earrings. And Lord Baladev's neck is so gorgeous. It is so elegant. It is so effulgent that it would put a conch shell to shame. So beautiful. And Lord Balaram's hair is like soft black cotton, so silky, so sweet-smelling. Lord Balaram's lotus face, you know, his lotus face is actually just like tender, like that of a white lotus. A white lotus, and his lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. Lord Balaram's eyes are so beautiful, so elongated. They are, you know, like shaped like a teardrop, you know, elongated teardrop. And it is reddish in color because Lord Balaram is always intoxicated in pure love for Krishna. His eyes are always reddish. He wears a very beautiful tilak that is yellow in color, which is from the dust of Braj, where Krishna has walked. Lord Balaram uses that dust to adorn his forehead with tilak. And he uses chandan, and he makes it blue in color. The chandan is made blue in color, and it is fragranced with camphor, musk, and aguru. And such a sweet-smelling fragrance of the chandan, very beautiful designs are decorated all over Lord Balaram's face. Very beautiful, intricate designs around his eyebrows, below his eyes, around his chin. So like this, Lord Balaram is beautified and decorated. May this vision of Lord Balaram be ever manifest in the mirror of our hearts and mind. And we beg at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram that he would choose to make his permanent residence in the region of our heart. And we pray that may he give us the strength and bliss so that we can continue our service for the pleasure of our spiritual master. Madhukar Sri Balaram ki jai, Rasaraj Sri Balaram ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Siddhanath Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kalasada Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for drowning us in ecstasy. It was such a beautiful meditative class. Thank you for helping us start today with a very beautiful note. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for a very, very wonderful class, as always, Mataji. You know, when you gave me the topic, you know, I didn't quite understand what it meant, but, you know, you broke it down so well, how Lord Balaram actually represents each and every rasa, Mataji. Thank you so much for explaining that. And
and also Mataji for explaining this wonderful pastime that you say you always mention, but I was hearing it for the first time and from your lotus mouth, Mataji, somehow, that it is so sweet. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving us your valuable time and association and taking the time to give us this class on this very auspicious day. I really appreciate. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanwat, Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for very nectar in class. Mataji, do we have any Vaishnav song on Lord Balram? Because we have so many songs on Lord Nityananda. I tried to search it today, but I...
Yes, you're very true, very right. You know, the song that is recommended by Srila Prabhupada to be sung for Lord Balaram is Jai Radhe Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. You can sing that song that is glorifying Krishna and Balaram and their activities. The other song that can be sung is Jashomati Nandana, Brajabaranagara, Gokula Ranjana Kanha. You can sing that song. That is also sung for Krishna and Balaram, Srila Prabhupada said. So these two songs are specifically we can sing for Lord Balaram.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class.
Hare Krishna, Kalasada Mataji's Chaya. Thank you for such a nectarian class. And happy Balaram Purnima to you. And thank you for the suggestion of the songs. I will sing those today. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Chaya Mataji. There was somebody else who was speaking.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the beautiful description of Balaram. It was really mesmerizing. Thank you so, so much for the class, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Balaram Jayanti to you.
Wish you the same. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavat Pranam, Mataji. Very beautiful class, Mataji. Very nice pastime. Happy Balaram Purnima. And class, I mean, for me, the day started with your class. It will be a very wonderful day for me, Mataji. Thank you so much for the class.
Thank you so much, Vinaya. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and to Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. Very beautiful nectar. And thank you so much for the special class today. It was really amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. So grateful to you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji. Especially, really like the last part on meditation and Balaram. I was so wondering how I never did like that in meditation, but when you were telling, at least I don't have that kind of realization, but I can see how you were explaining each and every part from the lotus feet of Lord Balaram and then waist and then how he stays everything, Mataji. So wonderful, Mataji. I hope you please give your blessing, Mataji. You can keep that form in our heart, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for a beautiful class today. Mataji, I have a couple questions, if I can.
Yes, please, please.
So one question is, first question is, while we are chanting, what mood should we chant in? So you said Balaramji also has so many different moods at the, with, based on the pastime that he's involved in. So should we chant in a Dasya mood? Some of us, the Lord is our friend. So what mood should we chant?
Well, Srila Prabhupada very, you know, clearly has given answer to that question. A very nice question. And Srila Prabhupada has given a very clear understanding to that question, very clear answer. He says, Srila Prabhupada says that we are not in that state where we can consider Krishna to be our friend or to be our lover or to be like our son, any of that, because then it gets very sentimental because of the impure state that we are in, the contaminated state that we are in. So therefore, for our protection, we should actually, you know, serve Krishna only as a servant. And then when the time is right, the spiritual master will reveal what our eternal relationship with Krishna is. But till then, we just serve Krishna as servant. No other rasa, no other, because then, because of our, you know, contaminated state, because of our, you know, impure state, we tend to take Krishna for granted sometime, and then we commit offenses. You know, it will lead to commit offenses, to committing some offenses. So we should be very careful that even when we are chanting or we are doing any seva, that we should always do it as a faithful servant, a faithful servitor in Dasya Ras. So we just serve Krishna in Dasya Ras. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, thank you. I had one more question. And so for Lord Rama, whenever we see Lord Rama, he has Sita Devi and Lakshmana and Hanuman Swami with him. But for all of Lord Krishna's pictures, he's either with Radha Devi or Balram. Why can't we put them all together? Because
very good question. Very, very good question. That, you know, that picture, you know, of Ram Darbar, that is very famously known as Ram Darbar, that was the situation when, you know, especially, that's like a snapshot, you know, of when Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, they came back to Ayodhya from the 14 years of exile, you know. So this Ram Darbar is a special occasion, you know, that we are worshipping Ram, Sita, Lakshman, along with Lakshman, and with Hanuman also. That's very special. But that doesn't occur with Srimati Radharani or with Krishna. It's simply because of etiquette, you know. And if you see that there is no, that is a specific situation, that is a specific mood that they all have. And here in Krishna Leela, just because they did that, it cannot be replicated in Krishna Leela also. So it's very specific to that particular pastime of Ram Leela. And another thing that is said in this regard is that, you know, when we worship Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, you know, nowhere in the world you can see brother and sisters being worshipped together. But here, you know, it is very special that Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, they are brother and sister, is worshipped. And actually, if you see in Jagannath Puri, that next to Lord Jagannath, there is a small deity of Lakshmi Devi, who is also kept on the altar, and who is worshipped. So Lakshmi Devi is also supposed to be residing along with Lord Jagannath on the same altar, at least in Puri, that's how it is. So these are different scenarios, different kinds of specific situations which have no specific, you know, conclusion that because it happened there, it should happen here also. That's what I would say.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. I am Soumya from Hyderabad, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Soumya. Yes, yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, I am having one doubt, Mataji. Five rasas are there, Mataji?
Yes.
Hare Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, Madhurya, and fifth one, Mataji?
Shantaras.
Okay. How Balaram can be associated with Shantaras, Mataji?
In Shantaras means that in passive state, you know, we are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Shantaras means. So Shantaras, Lord Balaram, I explained that he serves as the outfits of Krishna, Krishna's clothes, Krishna's crowns, Krishna's jewelry. You know, all of this is an expansion of Lord Balaram himself. So whatever Krishna uses, that is Lord Balaram. So that's how Lord Balaram is serving even in Shantaras. Shantaras means they don't actively serve Krishna. Actively means like in Dasyaras, we are doing something to serve Krishna, right? We are being proactive ourselves. But Shantaras means they are just in very passive state. Means that they are used only when Krishna wants to be used, kind of thing. You know, like, so Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's dresses, Krishna's crown, all of this is supposed to be the expansion of Lord Balaram who are in Shantaras.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Mataji, one more, Mataji. Anaga Manjari also is the incarnation of Balaram, Mataji.
Yes, Ananga Manjari, because Lord Balaram cannot directly serve in conjugal rasa, in Madhurya rasa. Therefore, Lord Balaram expands as Ananga Manjari to serve Radha and Krishna in Madhurya rasa.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. It was a wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you, Haribol.
Thank you, Keshavi. Hare Krishna. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Venkatapati. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Wonderful class, Mataji. And one thing that I like to know, Mataji, you mentioned in the class that a servitor should know what you know his master would like to have, or he should be at that level in terms of servitorship. So how do we get that mood as a disciple of Guru Maharaj, where it is a little difficult to get personal association with Guru Maharaj? So how do we get that kind of mood, being far away?
Very, very wonderful question. And I'm so happy that you caught that point, because it's a very important point, very, very important point, that a perfect disciple, a perfect servitor, knows exactly what the master wants and does accordingly. Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, actually, those of you who have heard the conversation that Jayapataka Maharaj had with Madan Mohan Mohini, the disciple of Giriraj Maharaj, we had sent the audio out. So in that conversation, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj made one point about glorifying Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He says that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was such an amazing disciple of Srila Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, if he would just raise his hand, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would know exactly what Srila Prabhupada wanted. He would know it. So the very fact that Jayapataka Maharaj was able to recognize this means, out of his humility, he never said it, but we know that he also understands. In fact, all of our Guru Vargas, they understand the mood of Srila Prabhupada. How do they do that? Not that each and every one of them got personal time with Srila Prabhupada. They did not. Not many of them got personal time and personal opportunity to serve along with Srila Prabhupada. They did not. They most of the time were serving in separation. So your question is so important. It's very, very valid question that then how do we understand the mood of the spiritual master and how can we act accordingly so that we can please our spiritual master with our service? The answer is very simple. The answer is that there is actually no difference between Vapu Seva and Vani Seva. In fact, Vani Seva is more intimate than Vapu Seva. Vapu Seva means to render personal service to the body of the spiritual master, to be in the physical proximity of the spiritual master. That is called Vapu Seva. Vani Seva means to serve the instructions of the spiritual master. So when we are serving the instructions of the spiritual master, what happens? Divya Gyan Hridaya Prakashito. Then Divya Gyan automatically manifests in our heart. It automatically comes. We sing in Guru Puja every day. Divya Gyan Hridaya Prakashito. This means how does this Divya Gyan come in our heart? Simply by following the instructions that are given by our spiritual master. Then there is no physical proximity that can ever separate us from our spiritual master. We know that from Srila Prabhupada's own words. Srila Prabhupada said this, that he wrote in his diary, That 1 year that Srila Prabhupada was going through struggle in New York City, in that freezing cold winter, Srila Prabhupada would roam around the streets in 1965 to 66. Srila Prabhupada struggled all by himself. He was alone. But Srila Prabhupada wrote that he never felt alone. He always felt the presence of his spiritual master. Why? Because he was following the direct instructions given by his spiritual master to teach in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada was following that instruction. That is why he constantly felt the presence of his spiritual master. Even though Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had already left this world, more than 30 years ago. 1933, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had left this world. But Srila Prabhupada still felt his presence. How? Because he was following the instructions. Vani. The Vani of the spiritual master is what connects us to the Guru. Then this physical proximity is of no importance at all because the connection is established in the heart. Divya Gyan is established in the heart. Krishna is establishing that connection, Paramatma to Paramatma. Our Atma is linked with the spiritual master. We are connected. Then physical proximity has no value whatsoever. So it is up to us how much we are following the instructions of the spiritual master, how much we are really trying to imbibe the mood that our spiritual master is giving. How can we imbibe the mood of the spiritual master? How do we know what the spiritual master wants? By listening to his lectures. When we listen to his vani, when we listen to any instructions when we follow the instructions that he gives in his lectures, then we are intimately connected with our guru and we will exactly know how to act in such a way that it will please our spiritual master. Then we can become, perfect disciples. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you for detailed explanation. It will stay in my heart. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a very beautiful question. Thank you. Any more questions?
Thank you, Mataji, once again for the very beautiful class today on Sri Balaram Jayanti, and happy Balaram Purnima to everybody. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpa karu vyasya kripa sindhu vyasya kripa
avnivya vishnivya namo nama
vishnu vrinda ki jai Balaram Jayanti Mahamahotsav ki jai Prabhupada ki jai.